The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you? Put me in a better mood. I'm hating the music. It's making me so irritable today.
Oh, I can't even do that because right off the bat, our news is not good here from Israel.
Indeed, but you know what? That's a bit of perspective. That's something that's real. Music is not. Tell us about what happened with this terror incident.
Today there was a terror attack in the Shtachim in Ariel, the what is called in the media as the West Bank settlement of Ariel. It was initially thought that was seriously stabbed and injured and then subsequently died of his wounds. However, it's not. The victim is Itamar Ben Gal, Rabbi Itamar Ben Gal. He's 29 years old. He was the father of four. He was from the nearby settlement of Har Bracha. He tried to run over the attacker with his vehicle, but the attacker managed to flee, the terrorist managed to flee, and right now the IDF are searching the area for this terrorist who stabbed Ben Gal repeatedly in the chest. He was taken to Beilinson Hospital in nearby Petah Tikva, but died of his wounds later. Prime Minister Netanyahu has commented. He has said that Israel will capture the terrorist. He goes on to say, we will bring him to justice as we always do. Put my trust in the security forces to do the hardest work against these reprehensible attacks. So just to recap, listeners, Rabbi Itamar Ben Gal, 29 years old, a father of four from the settlement of Har Bracha, was stabbed to death in a terror attack today.
Absolutely terrible, terrible story. There's also a lot of talk of war, Rolene. I've been following in the Israeli press, lots of talk about war being imminent. Will there be a war in 2018 between Israel and Gaza?
Well, we're really hoping there won't be a war between Israel and terrorist entities in Gaza. We have seen an escalation since the December 6th announcement of President Trump that Israel, the capital of Israel is in fact Jerusalem, something that we have known for several thousands of years, Howard. But we have seen response from Hamas, well, from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip in the form of many rockets being fired at Israel, at Israeli civilians. However, and compounding that is the humanitarian crisis that many in the Gaza Strip face. We do know that the Kogat unit of the IDF allows in many trucks daily with tons of humanitarian aid, but that does not always get to civilians. Often that aid is taken by the ruling Hamas. And our IDF Ramatkal, our chief of staff, Gadi Eisenkot, says that we really, really need to do as much as we can and make a significant effort in order to prevent humanitarian collapse in the Gaza Strip. He says the situation is deteriorating and it may have to be Israel that takes control or takes some kind of action. I just want to repeat that by taking action or taking control does not mean we are going to annex Gaza. It means that we need to do all that we can to stop some or any kind of humanitarian collapse in Gaza. But he also goes on to say that along with this, we need the bodies of Hadar Golden and Oron Shaul, the soldiers who were killed in Mevtza Tzuk Eitan, Operation Protective Edge, in 2014. We want those bodies returned, as well as the Israeli civilians that are being held captive by Hamas, Avraham Abera Mengistu, Hisham Al-Sayed, and Juma Ibrahim Abu Ghanima.
Crazy, crazy story. Israel's part of a group collecting intel on returning ISIS fighters. Which group is this?
Well, Howard, it was part of a secret coalition. Not so much a secret coalition anymore because right, it's making headlines.
All right, and you and I are talking about it, so no more secrets here.
And we know the power of your afternoon with Howard Feldman.
Exactly.
But But 21 nations apparently have signed a pact to collect and share intelligence targeting specifically European jihadis who are trying to return to their countries after fighting in the Middle East and in particular in Syria. And this is courtesy of the German newspaper Der Spiegel. They reported that yesterday. The operation is known as Gallant Phoenix. I think, you know, nice. I don't know who decides on these operative names, but Gallant Phoenix is quite cool, Howard. It's right up there. And it is estimated that about 40,000 people travel from around the world to take up arms for the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. And this is since the Islamic State have declared their caliphate in 2014. So it is now public knowledge that these countries, many of them in many of them NATO countries, now share this kind of intelligence.
Interesting indeed. Slovenia delays a vote on the Palestinian state.
Yes, well, we discussed it about 2 weeks ago that Slovenia would be one of the states to recognize a Palestinian state. However, Israel's ambassador to Slovenia, Eyal Sila, has warned the Speaker of the Slovenian Parliament, Milan Brglez, and the Chairman of the Foreign Policy Committee, Jozef Horvat. He has really cautioned them against that kind of mood or that kind of move. He has said that in order for a two-state solution or any kinds of negotiations to take place, these kind of actions embolden the Palestinians to not come to the negotiating table. And there are countries that already do recognize Palestinian statehood. Sweden, which is the only member of the current European Union that does. Other countries, several Eastern European countries, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, Bulgaria, and Romania, all recognized Palestine as a state before they joined the EU, as well as Malta and Cyprus. And what is very interesting, Howard, is the Czech Republic, because the Czech Republic, while they recognize a state of Palestine, and this is before joining the Eurozone, they were amongst the first to recognize President Trump's recognition or endorse President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital and make mention of the fact that they want to move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So a very, very interesting strategy from the Czech Republic.
Indeed. Gimpel the Fool saying Hamas will never put the needs of the Gazan population above their own petty ideology. There's no ways that they will accept aid in return for 3 Israeli prisoners and 2 bodies of our soldiers. That's Gimpel the Fool. What do you think of that, Raleen?
Well, as we often say, Gimpel ain't a fool. He certainly is no fool. And sadly, this is the situation that we find ourselves with. And it's not new. I mean, we know when Yasser Arafat was still alive, what happened to the vast amount of aid, financial aid that was given to the Palestinians that went to bolster Arafat and his aides and his supporters financially instead of going to the people who needed it the most.
Absolutely, and it's still completely a complete enigma to me that that the rest of the world keeps throwing logs on this fire. You know, if you don't want the fire to burn, well, then stop feeding it.
Well, perhaps President Trump has this, you know, something in his idea to withhold aid. You know, nobody wants to see the Palestinian people suffer. But I think that he's resorting to absolute extreme measures to ensure that we don't have the situation that we've had since we disengaged from Gaza, where the people are really and truly suffering.
The problem is the Palestinian people are suffering anyway because the money, the aid money that is being given to the Palestinian people isn't reaching them. It is being used to fund terror, to create terror tunnels, to fund arms, to educate people in the ways of terror. So it actually doesn't help to be funding the Palestinian causes because the people who need it most aren't receiving it.
Well, as you said so often, it's an economy of terrorism.
It really is. The UN case for the anti-BDS law?
Well, this is an op-ed that I came across in the Algemeine, which I thought was very, very interesting. You know, we just saw the passing of the Taylor Force Act, which goes, as we've just said, is to stop the funding of the Palestinians, especially when it comes to the payment of terrorist stipends. Now, should there be a move, or maybe perhaps there does need to be a move for Congress to pass the Israel Anti-Boycott Act. This is this would really, really put a spoke in the wheel of the United Nations Office for the High Commission on Human Rights, who've put forward a report about companies who are doing business in the West Bank. And this Geneva-based UN agency says that they are investigating some 206 companies that are connected to Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. It doesn't name the companies, but the intention is pretty clear. And to us, it smacks of Germany circa 1938 with the singling out of Jewish businesses for boycott and labeling. But not only would these boycotts affect 143 Israeli companies, but also 22 U.S. companies, as well as many others. And U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, the phenomenal Nikki Haley, right off the bat denounced this as a complete and utter waste of time and, again, evidence of the United Nations' absolute obsession with Israel at the expense of putting their efforts elsewhere. So this is a very, very interesting one to watch. I know we are waiting for a report from NGO Monitor, which would give more detail into these companies, into the United Nations, and the NGOs that certainly endorse these kinds of discriminatory measures.
Incredible. Gimple saying, besides starving Gazans is another political tool with which to bash Israel. It's an unfortunate reality. People used, effectively, metaphorically, people being used as human shields.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, as we can see now, whoever coined the phrase human shields in this discussion, I don't know if it was you, Gimple, or you, Howard, but we certainly see it on various aspects in the Gaza Strip, whether it be the physical use of humans as human shields, or in this case, the humanitarian use of humans as human shields.
That's unfortunately where we leave it, Rolene Marks. Thank you as always. That's the Israel Report, brought to you every day round about this time by the Blue Agency.